You just talk however you feel. It is, you know, you can swear. That's totally allowed and stuff. Just because people ask me, they're like, I fucking say fuck a lot. And I said, it's totally fine. Okay. You can say fuck as much as you want.
Welcome to the future is female powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and thank you for joining me for episode number 8. I am super stoked, of course, to be here with my nice, raspy, congested voice. You know you love it. It's Christmas time, and you know what that means. It means cold weather and people getting sick and all that great stuff. So I want to thank you all for being so patient with me. I am a day late and I never am late, but I was feeling like death. And so I knew I just needed to get it together, make it happen, because today we have a wonderful guest. She is the leader of Girls Who Powerlift, and she is a badass woman. Her name is Ivy Knight, and today we got into it, talked about all great subjects with Ivy, and one of the beginning portions, you know, I always ask people, like, what got you into powerlifting? And you wouldn't be surprised, but Dan Green is in the middle of the whole scenario. She talks about how Dan Green came to her gym. That he, you know, was trying to make weight, and it kind of stirred up this sort of like, who's Dan Green? And her and her husband found out who he was and started asking about what is powerlifting. So it was really interesting how it all started out for her. Now, I love that Ivy talks about the business, and that's one thing that I really was wanting her to share was, you know, we don't really talk about how you can make this part, you know, powerlifting, something you love, part of your business. And she made it an apparel business, and she made it be beyond that. Really, she's into the fitness community base of powerlifting as well. So it's not just the clothes. I mean, she's also got a powerlifting team. She handles people. You know, she's a dog mommy and a wife and a business owner. And she talks about how she really came to a crossroads in her life. And she had to choose whether she was going to stay in the job that she was in, that she was really, you know, working till like 2 a.m, trying to do both her and her husband, both Girls Who Powerlift and her job, and whether she was just going to, you know, call it quits and stay home. Now, you'd be very surprised to hear what actually happened. And she says she's never shared this story with anybody. So something special for you guys. Now, her and her husband have a gym. It's really her husband's baby, as she likes to call it. But they have a gym, which is the most badass name ever. Iron Knight Gym. What's up? When your last name is Knight, it's like you gotta have it, Iron Knight. It's a badass gym out in Florida. And she talks about how, you know, in the beginning, when her husband was talking about decorating the place, you know, she's like, oh, they had these, he wanted like a black wall. And I was like, hon, do you really want black? And she's like, but it came out badass. And if you guys look up Iron Knight Gym on Instagram, it's all black, matte black, with a shiny black lettering over it. And I'm like, oh, I know how that looks, because I swear I just pinned something of a flooring that looked just like that, where it's a black on black. So tight. But it's an awesome gym out in Florida. They carry everything you need. When you watch those videos, they're a legit powerlifting gym. So it's really cool to see that she's ventured out into that part of the world too. Now, Ivy has a small community of women who are gathering together called the Strong Girls Club. And if you go to Girls for Powerlifting, you can find out more information about the Strong Girls Club. But really, it is a committee of, you know, veteran coaches, people who are there to help others who are, whether they're new or intermediate, you know, if you're talking about singlets, gear check, form check, they're really there to help be a resource for other women who are looking to grow in powerlifting or maybe just have some questions. Cause you know, there's not a lot of powerlifters around. And I think that just like this show, we rely a lot on Facebook, on groups, on social media in order to kind of get get to know other women and other people out there. So I love that she was venturing out in this area. And one of the things that I love is that she talks about persevering. And you can imagine that having an apparel company, there's going to be a lot of shit that don't sell. You know, you're going to have styles that are going to be like, people weren't feeling it. You know, there's a lot of times where you're going to have failure in front of your face and you're going to have to look at it and say, okay, am I going to give this up because I'm sucking at it right now? Or you're just going to say, okay, everything kind of sucks sometimes. You got to push through those failures. And she really gives her struggles and how she was able to push through them. And this episode is brought to you by My Little Strength Haven, my little gym out in Huntsville, Alabama, Core Strength and Performance. And if you are a powerlifter or strength person or somebody who's just like slightly interested, come over to my gym. We surround everything through strength. So whether you're trying to get leaner, you're trying to build muscle, everything revolves around strength training for us. And we just feel if you are a little stronger, you're just going to live a little better. Every Saturday from 9 to 11, we have open gym where anybody from anywhere, doesn't matter where you're at, come out and you just train together. All of us are doing different programs, but we're all yelling at each other, having a good time. And really, I just wanted that Saturday so that people didn't feel like they had to buy a membership, that they just could come and have the community of people who are helping everybody out and just really having a good time, you know, just having fun doing it. And I want to thank you all who send me screenshots and send me messages and tell me all these wonderful things about, you know, really kind of tuning into the show. It really makes my heart so happy. Let me tell you, like, this is, you know, like I said, it's a passion project for me. So, you know, I don't get paid for this. This is something I just love to do. I love to be able to connect to other women and also be able to put that information out there for you guys as best as that I can. As best as I can. I'm even like cotton mouth right now and I did not smoke a joint. Okay. It's all the medicine I got going on. I would like to give a special shout out to Chels Fit, and you can follow her on Instagram. It's CHELZ.FIT. She's out in Jersey, and I'm just going to share a little something that she said. I am honestly obsessed. You're so engaging. Topics are real and raw. Being a fellow female in the fitness world, I find myself relating so much in a way that most people who I talk to don't understand. Thank you for putting your content and not being afraid to speak about touchy subjects. I'm a fan. Thank you, Chels. That's the kind of things that when I hear that and I see you guys sharing it, I love the feeling I get from that. And I also want to give a shout out to my girl, Maria Chela, who she's out in El Paso, and Star Lifter, who also messaged me, Sulipala. These are Emlia 87. These are all Instagram and women of powerlifting who have been awesome at putting the information out there for me as well. So shout out to my people out at Women of Powerlifting, and thank you. And let's get into it with Miss Ivy.
So I started powerlifting about almost 5 years ago. And it was really just back then there was a meet called, RUM. It was like Raw United something. I can't remember. And yeah. So a lot of like the bigger guys used to come here, and it was in Port St. Lucie. And so when the gym that we went to had a sauna, and so one of the guys from the gym told my husband that Dan Green and Brandon Lilly, and I think Larry Wheels at the time, and a couple other big, big names in powerlifting had come to the gym after hours to use the sauna because they were all cutting. So right. My husband, being the like excessive researcher that he is, he started looking into all of these names, and he was like, what is this powerlifting thing? And so he started looking into it. And then that was like our thing, because when we started dating, I was 17 and we were broke because we were kids. And so we used to go to the gym because it was free. Right. And so that always kind of ended up being our thing, was we used to go to the gym. And so he started powerlifting and getting more into it. And so because he was into it, I was into it. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of started from there at a commercial gym. And then we joined a powerlifting team and got a little more familiar. It didn't work out for us to be on the team just because of times that they trained, and they trained at a really tiny facility at the time, and it just didn't work because we had mm-hmm. full-time jobs, and it just, the timing didn't work for us. And then from there, I was, again, I was pretty new to the sport, and it was pretty male dominated even 5 years ago. And so I kind of was like just, you know, searching the internet and trying to find like people in my, I guess people that I could relate to. I'm sorry. I'm looking around because my dogs are underneath me. And,
oh, yeah, no problem. I think everybody's brought a dog into the interview, almost every single person. It's either been a dog or a kid.
So yeah, then I started looking, you know, the internet and trying to find people that I could, that were kind of on my level because I was so new to it. And there were women in the sport, but they were all like, I guess for me, just not something that I could relate to because they were all just so much stronger than me. And so it kind of was like a little, I don't want to say depressing.
Intimidating? Intimidating?
It was intimidating. Yeah, that's a good word. So my husband had been a, he had been working with menswear brands doing branding for them and social media marketing and things like that. And so he was like, you should start your own page. And I was like, no, that's dumb. Like, I don't want to do that. And then he was like, no, you should do it. And he ended up actually getting the Girls Who Powerlift name, and he started the page, and he was just like, here. And he was like, take it over. And so we just kind of started, I started reposting my friends that I knew in the area. And that was really all it was. And then people started like, we started using like hashtags, and Instagram was pretty new at the time. And so hashtagging was like a crazy big deal. And so we started hashtagging and things like that. And then it just kind of went from there. So it was always really organic. And it just was a shout out page for a while. And then, our first shirt was the original Peach Gang shirt. And that was like, someone literally just said, it was like Wednesday hump day. So we were like, oh, hashtag Peach Gang, like, haha, cute.
Yeah.
Someone was like, you should put that on a shirt. And we kind of like, I told my husband, I was like, someone said we should put this on a shirt. And I remember I actually texted him because I was working full time. And so not really supposed to be on my phone. And so I'm like on Instagram, and I was like, someone said we should put this on a shirt. And he was like, we should put this on a shirt. And so we hit up a local printer and we got them printed. And I, to this day, hate those shirts only because they were so poorly done. They were so thick and like, so badly designed, but we still have people to this day asking us for that particular shirt, which is funny to me.
Is it like 100% cotton?
Like, oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, the what is the classic 100% cotton brand?
Yeah, it's like a Gildan and
Gildan. There we go. Yeah.
Yes, it kind of started organically. Like, people kept telling us, you should put this on a shirt. And we're like, okay. And then we just started selling shirts.
That is so nuts. And, you know, in a marketing perspective, that is the way you should grow. You know, you should grow organically. You should grow when it demands, the market demands, right? So people are asking for whatever it is that you're turning out because it's resonating with them. It's so crazy. I think the first time I saw an apparel was one of the girls in El Paso. She had a Peach Gang shorts.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that was, I mean, this is already, I'm sure you've kind of already been deep into apparel, and she had that on, and I was like, that is so stinking cute. And it didn't dawn on me. Like, I didn't even realize it at the time, you know, like I wasn't following so closely that it was directly your guys. I thought it was just somebody had just put something on, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. So you're working full time at this time. Mm-hmm. Your husband is also in, he's still in that kind of position, that kind of job.
Yeah.
Okay. So like branding, social branding, which is like, so awesome that he did that for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a lot of foresight on his part where he saw, hey, you have a need and you have the opportunity to do something with it.
Yeah.
And just kind of needed that push, which is awesome because I think that's what spouses are for, you know, kind of push you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're just selling a few, a few different apparel. So you're like selling a shirt and you kind of go from there. When did it take a turn and you sort of were like, all right, cause do you still have a job right now? Are you still working full time or are you just with this?
No,
right now?
I've been doing Girls Who Powerlift full time for, this will be my second year. No, we're going into my second year. So it's been about a little over a year.
Okay. So when did that happen and what was going through your mind as you were doing that?
So we started selling shirts, and even though my husband had been working doing social media marketing with other companies, he had never really seen the type of engagement that we got. And he had always worked with men's brands, like menswear brands, particularly suiting and like ties and things like that. So he had never seen the amount of engagement that we had on Girls Powerlift. And it was kind of like everything. Like, we grew to 10,000 followers on Instagram, like in less than a year. Like, it was insane. And so we started, again, we had started selling a few shirts here and there. And then we ended up knowing my brother-in-law draws for a living. He does, and he does digital artwork for a living. And then we had another friend who did it. And so we kind of were like, hey, can you guys make us a logo? Hey, can you do this here and there? And it just like, it just kept going. And we started writing blogs and reaching like other, we reached out to a couple of friends who like were, more knowledgeable in the sport, and they started writing blogs for us. And so it kind of became this place for women to find information, for women to feel like they were part of a community. Because again, at this point, it was still, we were the only ones that were doing it. And it was still a very male dominated sport. And then it's funny that you brought up Shayna, because it was Shayna and Mark Miller who we did, they invited us to do a booth at one of the meets that they did down in Florida. And that was the first time that we had ever done a booth. And so when we were there, the even though I think that honestly there was probably about 10 women in that meet, and it was like a full power meet, and all of the lifters, like wives and girlfriends and, you know, moms and stuff like that, like they were coming over to her booth and they're like, oh my god, this stuff is so cute. And like, we were so excited because we're like, oh my gosh, like people actually really like this. And so the more we got noticed, the more we sold. And then that just kind of, it ended up being, we were working full time and I was a paralegal. So I had a really hard, it was a high stress job. So I would be working till about like 5:30, and then we'd go to the gym, and then we'd come home, and we were working till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, writing blogs, fulfilling orders just from our living room. And you know, my husband had a full-time job, plus he had a couple other branded clients that he was working for. So we were literally exhausted, but it was like we were doing something that we genuinely loved. And so it was like, we're tired, but this is so fun kind of thing. And then we were able to, so we bought our house, which we had been saving up for anyway. And then, you know, the additional income from Girls Powerlift helped. So we bought our house because we needed space. And we had everything in our, we had a small apartment and our entire living room, which I had, like, we had a couch, a TV, and then like boxes upon boxes of just stuff.
Stuff
like t-shirts and everything like that. And we were just getting in contact with countries like big manufacturers and things like that, so we can make bigger things like pants and shorts and stuff. So we had samples everywhere. Like, we had no space for anything. And so we decided,
yeah, and an apartment would be so hard.
So we decided to get a bigger place, and where we are, the market was weird. So it didn't make sense for us to get like a bigger apartment or rent a house. So we ended up being able to buy a house. And then, what was I going to say? Oh, so when we did that, then I was kind of at this weird crossroads where I wasn't happy at my job anymore. But you know, quitting was like such a risk. Yeah. And so I ended up, it was kind of a weird thing. And I always say, like, I believe in God and I believe in blessings. And so I just felt like this was such a like space for me to, like, I prayed about it and I thought, like, if this is like something that's really worth it, then, you know, I have to get out of my job so that I can really devote my time to it. And I ended up getting fired.
Which I've freaking way.
Yeah. Which I've never actually told anyone that story before, but yeah, I ended up getting fired. And it was the best thing that ever happened, because I don't think that I would have quit on my own because I was just scared to take that leap. So it ended up working out really, really well.
Oh my gosh. And that's crazy to think that maybe you wouldn't have left had they not fired you. So maybe it's divine intervention.
Yeah.
You know, who, so at this point you're taking it on full time. So what was your goals now that you were staying home and sort of taking this business, into your own hands 100% of the time. So all your time at home is devoted to your business now. So what sort of things did you start to change? Did you change your website? Did you add more products? Where did your focus change?
We added more products, but the goal of Girls Powerless was always about the community. And so we started doing more meets so that we could get to know more people. And then we also did our very first Camp Uplift. We traveled to Chicago and we had a few speakers come and a bunch of other women, you know, they came, they bought tickets and it was like a weekend seminar basically.
Camp Uplift. I remember seeing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we ended up doing that. And that was, again, that was always the goal, was to bring the community of women who powerlift together.
Yeah. And so I noticed right now, speaking about community, is that you have the Strong Girls Club. Mm-hmm. Which I think is so awesome. So for the listeners, the Strong Girls Club is pretty much you're part of this group. That's a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. They can help you on lifts. They can talk about any sort of questions that you sort of have a safe environment to ask women who are all have probably the same kind of mindset of helping each other, this growth mindset, which I think is important because then you're not going to have somebody just coming in, just talking shit or being
exactly
aggressive or being a dick or something. Because I still see that from women too. It's just, I think that's a personality thing, whether it's a man or a woman, but you'll have people that are probably just kind of a dick about things. But instead this community is more of a controlled
environment. And we have admins who have been in the sport. We've got coaches, referees, people that are just like elite lifters, and it's controlled because like you said, unfortunately, as many comments as we delete, there's only so much that we can do as far as people giving their opinion. And sometimes it's unsolicited and sometimes it comes from a good place, but it's just wrong. You know, like there's so much wrong information out there. But with Strong Girls Club, you know, it is a safe place. There, you're not, your comments and your questions aren't being seen by, you know, 100,000 people. It's a controlled place. And so that's kind of why we wanted to do it. We advertise it really for new lifters, because I think that especially now there's so much, like I said, there's so much bad information out there that why not give people a place to get good information so that they can grow? Because I think in powerlifting, we see that a lot. It had like a big boom of women that came in real fast. And then once they didn't get the goal that they wanted, then they left. And so, but it's like, I mean, if you've been powerlifting for any longer than a year and a half, you know that it's a marathon sport. And you're going to have bad times and you're going to have times where you're like, why am I doing this? But you keep going because it's, you know, it's a passion sport.
Right. And I've had that conversation too about how I think with a lot of sports that are like that, that you're going to have that big boom of people who come in. But hopefully they'll stay in if they have a better community and people to reach out to, because that is one thing that I find. I've always had a family that was accepting. My husband has been very accepting. I mean, your husband, you guys have been training together since you were 17. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have somebody telling you something negatively all the time. For example, some of those pages like Women Powerlifting, I'll see things where women are like, oh, my mother thinks I'm going to turn into a man. She tells me how muscular I look all the time. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't want to X her out of my life, but I think she's kind of being like unreasonable because she won't even listen. So what you're saying is you're going to have more people in this community that are, you know, where they can reach out and have conversations like this, because I think it is sad. You know, I think that's somebody like that is definitely not going to continue on if she doesn't have other people helping, supporting her. Mm-hmm. So what about you right now? Are you still competing? Is that because I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I just opened a gym this past year and it's hard to run a business. Yeah. And to stick to a really good program that's going to help you progress so that you can make, you can PR hopefully or not regress.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Girls Who Powerlift, and then we also opened a gym about a year ago. And so,
oh, nice.
So yeah, we're running two businesses at the time. I don't think that I can ever say that I'll ever stop being a part of powerlifting. I have taken a little time off, just to kind of like regroup. And I think as women, we kind of forget to take care of ourselves. And 100%. That's kind of where I was. I was taking care of the business. I was taking care of, you know, my household. I was being a wife and like a dog mom, because my dogs are my life. And, and so I stopped taking care of myself, and the gym became kind of like, it was my gym. So it was like, okay, I'm sick of being here, you know?
Yeah.
And So I've taken a little time off. I'm still training, but I probably won't compete for a little bit. But we're literally driving to 3 hours to Gainesville next weekend to be with our team. So powerlifting is in me and it'll always be in me. But I have taken a little bit of time off just to take care of myself and get myself a little healthy again.
I think that's important, because I think a lot of people will preach, no, you gotta keep training. You can't make excuses and you can't do all this kind of stuff. But, the reality is that there are other things that are more important than your training, unfortunately. And, you know, that's your livelihood and the money that you make and your family and other things. And, I think it's important that you do make time for yourself. And if powerlifting is your time for yourself, or maybe it's another hobby, you know, it's something that'll help balance you out. But I think that's important to hear a lot more people say things like, I've said that. I've just been training this year. I've been inconsistent. I'll do a great training block and then I got hurt and then I'm doing whatever. So now I'm doing like 6 weeks of hypertrophy. Like I haven't even deadlifted. We have a little fundraiser coming up at my gym and it's like deadlift your body weight for reps. I'm all, I'm going to get punished. Like I don't weigh, but I just like, I haven't picked up a bar in a few weeks. Like it's, it is what it is. But those kind of things are, you know, I realize that it's all compounding stress, you know, so stress from home, stress from your business, that's all compounding. You can't, and so is training. Training is a stressor on your body. So you can't say that that's not going to affect it. It is going to be effective. All right. So that is crazy. So you also have what I thought was amazing. What is the name of your gym?
It's called Iron Knight Gym.
I didn't even see that. I swear you have like the best
last name. I need to put a bio out.
You should put a bio out. Iron Knight Gym, like, and your last name Knight, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That is like the best name for, I mean, it works so well. Look at that.
Yeah, this is my husband's baby. He dreamt this thing up. And from the beginning, I remember calling the guy to come paint it. And we're going through the gym with him. And it's got like huge, like 28 feet, like ceiling. And so he's like, I want it black. And the guy's like, okay, like, you know, he's going through it. And I'm like, black, babe? Like, really? You want a black gym? Like, that sounds very, like, scary and daunting. And it was his vision to do a matte black gym. And then it's got the name across the both sides of the walls. It says Iron Knight. And it's, like, shiny. It's also black. So it's, like, black on black. And once it was all on, I was like, dude, this is so dope. Like, I did not believe in you, but now I believe in you.
No, that seems, you know, I've seen a lot of Pinterest when I was, we were painting the house. I've seen black where they do the black mat and then they do the super glossy whatever design over it. And it's subtle. So it doesn't have that kind of like in your face look. Yeah. But that's dope. If it's 20-foot ceilings, then it you can get away with that. Like my gym's really small. It's 750 square feet. And I wanted the opposite. I go, if we make it black, it's going to seem like this big. So we made it white. We put like color, you know, we have a lot of color going on. So it has just a different feel to it. But yeah, that's hot. So, and it is also located where you're at, right?
Yes, in Port St. Lucie.
Mm-hmm. Port St. Lucie. That's awesome. All right. So I know that you have this Girls Who Powerlift app, which I wanted to ask you about because this app is supposed to help women find other gyms, right? So can you explain a little bit more about it?
So the app is for gyms sign up. They get their information put on the app. And then we also do gym spotlights on Instagram and Facebook. We talk about their events, things like that. So it was really for particularly gyms to get their names out of there. Because I think that one of the things that we lack is like training facilities. And there are there are a lot out there, but you know, if you're not great with social media, it's hard to find them. And then, you know, us being full of powerlifters, like if I were to go to a different state, I want to go to a powerlifting gym because I know that they're going to have the equipment. So it's kind of a brainchild of like being able to help powerlifters continue to be good powerlifters. And so you can download the app, you can make yourself a profile, you can find other people in your area. Other people in your area, because I think that's one of the other big things that we always hear is that I don't have anybody in my area. And then, you know, through chatting, whether it's, you know, on one of our posts or anything like that, you find out, oh, this person lives in, I don't know, New Mexico too. I didn't think there were anybody there was another powerlifter in New Mexico, and here you are, you and this other person are only 20 miles away from each other. So not only can you find other people in your area who powerlift, you can also find gyms. So if you're traveling or if you're moving, anything like that, you can, you know, do the research and make sure that, you know, you have somebody and have people that are, you know, with you in the sport.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that's great because sometimes it's like intimidating for women too, yeah. You know, so having that easily accessible like that, that is fantastic. So let me ask you this, if there's women out there who also sees a need, you know, maybe it's within their own fitness niche, they found something that, hey, I think I could do something with this. I could, you know, make an apparel brand, or I can find a community base. You know, what are some roadblocks that you've ran into that maybe you would like to give to other new people who might be venturing out into fitness, other women maybe especially?
Yeah, so I would say two things. I think sometimes for me, I have a tendency to question myself and my instincts a lot of times. And so I kind of like, I get fearful of like making a bad decision or failing or anything like that. And I think that sometimes like learning that failure is a part of the process. Not everything we did with Girls of Power was a good idea, but you know, failure is a part of the process. And eventually, if this is genuinely something that you love and you believe in, then it's going to work. You just have to keep grinding, keep pushing. And with that in mind, sometimes, you know, the front door isn't going to open to you, but don't take no for an answer. There's a side door. There's a side window. There's a go down the chimney if you have to. Like, figure out a way to make it work. Because, again, if it's something that you're genuinely passionate about, then the worst thing that you could do is, if it fails, it fails. But the worst thing that you could ever do is for you to not even try and then on your deathbed be like, man, I really wish I would have done that.
I agree. That's to me some of the best advice you can give, because I think naturally women tend to not be maybe as aggressive in pursuing certain things, and maybe would just take no for an answer the first time and not, you know, try a different door like you're saying, or try a different prospect or somewhere, a different company you're going to go to. And I think that on the surface, people would see your business and think like, oh, they're so successful, I could never be at that level. Like, look at their website. They look professional. They got this fabulous fanny pack. I just want you to know, like, I'm a huge fanny pack person. I don't know if you can see it in the picture. I was wearing it. So yeah. And then now they have, everybody was telling me, they're like, are you going to get the Girls Who Powerlift one? I go, I might, because when I'm like, if I have to handle anybody, I'm like, dude, it's all set up and ready to go.
Oh, it's so perfect. That was like, I mean, seriously, we were like, we should make a fanny pack. And then we're like, we can't just make a fanny pack. Like, we have to make the perfect fanny pack.
Because well, so every handler has one. Like,
yeah. I have a prototype that I'm going to bring to the meet this weekend. And I'm like, I'm so excited to use this.
Yeah. But I think, you know, it's like, it's great because you have a pulse on what's popular as well. And I think that that's great advice by saying, you know, you have to take a risk, and there is a very good chance you'll fail, but nobody ever sees your failures. It's like that meme that's floating around, right? They have the ice on the water, and it says success, right? And then it shows everything underneath, right? It's this huge long icicle going underneath that said failure, nose, lost job, like all these things that led up to them actually being successful. And that's so true. And even with our gym, like, we went through a lot of roadblocks when we first moved here with our house, you know, with selling our other home, with buying this home, with the gym, with the, I mean, there were so many. We've had our like credit card stolen 9 times.
Oh my gosh.
In 1 year, let me tell you. Oh, so that itself was a huge deal, because every time you have to change everything, right? So yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. So, I mean, there's just, you know, if every time shit like that happened and I took it as some sign, then I would never progress, and I'd feel bad about myself and I'd be all victimized. And I just think that the one thing that I found amongst successful women like yourself is that they have failed. And they're okay with that. And it's that saying that you're going to be okay, even if you take the risk, you know, that's for sure. And I'm sure there's a lot of shit you bought that you're like, well, that didn't work out so good. Let me just move on to the next. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, that doesn't work, so I won't do that style again, or that cut, or whatever it is. That's, I think those are all important things, but.
Walk in there. You either love it or you hate it. And that's kind of like, that was what you wanted. And so we were able to just get a good group of people that just came in and like loved it, fell in love with it. Some of them had powerlifted in the past and some of them were completely new. And I mean, really, the gym is my husband. Like, if you ever meet him, like, he just welcomes everybody and he's willing to put everything down and teach them and talk to them and encourage them. And so, it's kind of so now with our team, we started out with probably about like, I think 7 of us did this same meet, but last year. And then this year there's 17. And so oh, wow. Every time we go to a gym, it's like a bigger group of people and a bigger group of people. So, we have 5 new lifters this meet, a couple of them, it's their second, their third meet. And then, so we're handling, my husband's coaching, I'm handling, and, it's a 2-day meet. So we're all traveling there. We got like an Airbnb and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Which you said in Florida, right?
Yes. It's in Gainesville, Florida.
In Gainesville. Do you know the name of it?
It is, it's the American Barbell meet. It's called the Throwdown. It used to be called the Thanksgiving Throwdown, but I think they just changed the name to the Throwdown.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, USPA. Yeah. I know the meet director out in Florida, but he does Mississippi and I think a part of Florida, but I can't remember. I think he just does like the northern part. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think he runs that one, but I feel like you're throwing a lot of things. Like every time I turn around, you're taking, oh, it's your dog. You're throwing the ball to your dog.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sorry.
I was like, are you sitting on something and you're just throwing it? That's so funny.
Oh, my God. I have 2 pit bulls and one is like the high strung dog you'll ever meet in your life.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely. As a pit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like he's technically like a red nosed pit bull, but he's got blue in his blood. So he's a big boy, like he's 80 pounds, but he's just very high strung. So we have to keep him entertained.
And then I had a big one and he was a mastiff pit and he was just too much. So he's so beautiful. If you can see this dog, he is beautiful. He has brown and white around the neck. Aww. Yeah,
my baby, that's X-Man.
Well, before I let you go, I love what you had talked about looking for something for people who were new and you couldn't find anything because you were a new lifter and you're kind of like, oh, I can't relate to these people. What kind of would you give any sort of advice to anybody who is brand new? Let's say somebody's listening and they're just a couple months into powerlifting. What kind of advice would you give to them?
I think I would say if you're going to do it, go in head first, just get into it. Find your tribe. And even if it's online, find people that are supportive of you if you can't find that within, like, you know, your family or anything like that. But if you're going to do it, go in head first and, you know, understand that it's a marathon sport. You're not going to be the strongest. So don't compare yourself to other people. But make sure that, you know, you take your time, be patient and, you know, trust yourself, respect the weight, but know that, you know, no matter what, you're going to be strong enough for it and just, you know, enjoy the process.
Yeah, I agree. What do they say? The comparison is a thief of joy. Yeah. And I feel like that's always, even in powerlifting, we're doing the same thing by comparing. And I think that's definitely the best advice is just to do it for yourself and not look at somebody else, your age, your height, your weight or whatever, and try to do that comparison role. Cause you'll be going, you'll drive you nuts and then you will not stick with it. So that's a great advice. Well, Ivy, thank you so much. This was Ben.
Thank you. You.
Super good. And I wish you the best of luck. I'm excited. I hopefully will see you at a meet because I plan on going to a few in Florida to help out with John Micah's the meet director out there.
Okay.
That I know, at least. I don't think it's the same one, but yeah, I plan on heading out there at some point, but I would love to.
Oh yeah. Let me know.
definitely. Well, thank you so much and you have a good one.
Thank you too.